We began this Advent season 3 weeks ago. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, with the themes of Advent, right? You remember the first theme? Starts with an H? Hope, yeah. Hope was the first theme. The second theme starts with a P. Peace, yeah, the peace of, we just sang, O Prince of Peace, from Isaiah. That's Jesus. Then the third, that was last Sunday. Oh, I didn't even give you the letter. But you knew. Joy, joy, joy. Remember singing that? Yeah, so joy. And then this Sunday, the... You got it. It's love. And it, you know, when I'm thinking about love and preaching on John 3:16, of course we see it in the end zones with the football games. Sorry, Vikings fans, you're building for next year again. I know. 1998, field goal, 38-yarder against the Atlanta Falcons. Why wouldn't we just make that? He made them all year long, but I know. So well, let's not go there. But thinking about preaching on love, I've preached a number of times on love. Every Sunday should be about love, right? God's love for us. That's what Christmas is all about. It's knowing the God of love, because God is love. That's His character. That's His identity. That's who He is. God is love. We'll see that in a few moments. 1 John chapter 4. But thinking about love, before we look at John 3:16, I think of some songs. You know, there's a lot of love songs out there, right? And whether it's Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, I don't know if Taylor Swift sings a love song, but what? Neil Diamond. What about Neil Diamond? What's the song you're thinking of? America. There's love in that. Maybe you got some other songs you're thinking of. Oh, Love is a Many Splendored Thing. How about that? What, Elton John, what's he got? Okay. Any others? What do you got? You got one? What is it? Love by... Oh, Taylor Swift. There it is. Lover by Taylor Swift. What else you got? Love songs. You got some more. I'm sure if you think about Valentine's Day, you'll probably come up with a few. Isn't that all about love? Hearts, red. Yeah. One more, huh? We all want to believe in love. And the greatest love there is, that ever has been, is God's love, right? Here's John 3:16. For God, you can do it from memory, can't you? Many of you can, from Sunday school, from confirmation, from growing up in the church. You can do this from memory. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Some translations say begotten, because it's so unique, that whoever believes in Him, believes in Jesus, shall not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. Wow. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love for us. Would You show us more of who You are and what it looks like to dwell, to receive the love that You give us in and through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Max Lucado wrote a book called 3:16. And I think the subtitle says The Hope Diamond of the Bible. That's a good way to put it. The Hope Diamond of the Bible. And I think he, in his book, wrote out that verse, For God so loved the world. And he put like 4 at the top, and then so loved the world that. And so he put it in the form of a diamond. It was kind of neat the way he did it. Here's what he said about it. A 26-word parade of hope. If you know nothing in the Bible, start here, John 3:16. If you know everything about the Bible, return here, John 3:16. And then he said these four things. This will be our outline for the message this morning. He loves. He gave. We receive, or we believe, and we live. So he loves, he gave, we believe, we live. First one. He loves. He loves. John begins with these words, for God so loved the world. Love does not begin with us, it begins with God. He's the fountain from which all true love flows. This is what John says elsewhere in one of his letters, 1 John 4. He says, this is love. If you're wondering what love is, the Apostle John, disciple of John, he says, this is love. This is it. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent at just the right time, at the right moment, the fullness of time, he sent his son. He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He later says this, God is love, a couple verses later. So love begins with God. God is the source of all love. For God so loved, when I'm thinking of so, that's just a little word in the Greek. It's autos, A-O-W-T-O-S, autos, utos, something like that. For God so loved. Every translation has this word. It's in the Greek. So loved. When you think of so loved, what do you think of? It's not like a third grader or 3-year-old saying, I love you so much. It's not like that. But it can be. God can tell us that. He says, I love you so much. It can be that. But if you look at some of the translations for this verse, like the NLT for one, it translates the word so in this way. God loved us this way. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only son. That's the way he loved us. And he proved that love to all of us when he sent Jesus to the cross. That was his mission all along. It wasn't just to be born a baby in a manger to grow up and to live in that area. No, it was to be born to die and to die for all of us because of our sin. God is the source of all love. God's love is real, and it was offered to Nicodemus that night. That's the context of John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes at night because he's afraid of the Jewish council, which he's a part of, because they would ostracize him for being interested in the Messiah, the anointed one, so to speak. Who's this guy teaching, and who's this guy performing all these miracles? Nicodemus was curious. He wanted to know more about who that was, who Jesus was. And so he asks to see Jesus at night. Probably went to one of his disciples and said, hey, can I meet with Jesus? And he made the arrangements. And he goes and meets with Jesus. And he says, tell me more. Tell me more. And then Jesus shares with them this. He says, well, Nicodemus, you must be born again. What? Born again here means born anew or born from above. That's what it means in the Greek. Nicodemus, you mean you must be born from above. And he says, What are you talking about? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? The wind blows where it will. You must be born of water and the Spirit, Jesus shares. And just a little bit later in their conversation, he and Nicodemus are sharing at night, all alone, and then Jesus says this, probably the most recognized verse in all of the Bible, one of them. And Jesus shares with Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, it's for you and for all people. Trust in my love. Jesus said that himself. He says, trust in God, trust in me. Do not be afraid. Do not be worried. Do not fear. I have come for you, Nicodemus, and I have come for all people. Trust in what I say. I've come to show you who God is. I've come to show you and reveal His love for you. It's real. There's a couple of metaphors for love that we can take a look at everyday things, like the sun. S-U-N, the sun comes out every day. Did you know that? It comes out every day, even though you can't see it. You can't see it sometimes because it's cloudy. I pity those people in Seattle. They get a lot of rain, a lot of gloominess out there because of all the clouds. They don't always see the sun. Doesn't mean it's not real, though. The sun is real. The sun shines every day, even when clouds hide it. Its warmth and light don't depend on our awareness of it. It simply shines. God's love is the same. It's constant. It's unwavering. It's not dependent on our feelings or our performance, even in the storms of life. His love remains. It's real, and it's for you. Another metaphor, one of my favorites, if you look in my office, if you go there right now, you'll see on the wall, there's a number of lighthouses, even on the shelves. And thank you, some of you have given me some gifts of lighthouses. Love lighthouses. Why do I love them so much? Well, I think it's just because it's a metaphor for God's love, God's light. We're talking about God's light on Christmas Eve. A lighthouse doesn't chase down ships. A lighthouse doesn't leave the shore and chase them down. It stands firm, shining steadily to guide them home. God's love doesn't manipulate or force itself on us. It faithfully calls us back, offering direction, warning, welcome. Even if you've drifted far, His love remains where it has always been, waiting with light. God's love is constant, and it's there for you. So first of all, He loves. Secondly, He gave. God is the biggest giver of all. He gave His one and only Son. He's a big giver. He's generous. C.S. Lewis said, gift, that's what God's love is. It's gift love. It's a present to you. It's a gift. So God is the biggest giver. The cross is the ultimate demonstration of that love. Jesus laid down His life so that we might have life. Tullian Chavijian captures this beautifully. He says, grace is love that seeks you out when you have nothing to give in return. Grace is love coming at you that has nothing to do with you. Grace is being loved when you are unlovable. That's what grace is. That's what God's love is. Even though we might be unlovable. God's love is not based on your performance or who you are. It's based on who He is and what He's done for you in and through Christ. His love is unconditional. It's the gift love that comes to us free of charge, gift through His Son. It's a no-strings-attached kind of love. It's an unconditional love. It's a love for you. And thirdly, it's for those that believe. We believe. That's the third thing. God's love is not limited to a select few. It embraces the entire world. That's why when Jesus was sharing with Nicodemus, He said, for God so loved. He didn't say Nicodemus in there. He included Nicodemus in the world. God's offer of love is unconditional in its gift. No strings attached. It's gift to you who are part of the world. It's gift for all people. It's offered to all people. Sadly, not all will receive God's gift. The Apostle John again says, the true light, we'll talk more about light in Christmas Eve, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet all who did receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God. So God's gift is wrapped not in ribbons and bows, but God's gift is wrapped in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's offered to all. It's offered to you freely. The Apostle Paul shares this from Romans chapter 10. He says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. It means no one's beyond the reach of God's love. It's offered to all. And we pray, O Lord, that all of our family and friends will accept this gift of love that you offered to them. So he loves, he gave, we believe, and lastly, we live. Finally, John tells us the purpose of this love. Here it is, that whoever believes in him, in Jesus, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the purpose of God's love. Max helps us again. This is from a short devotional by him, and it speaks of the season when we remember the birth of Christ. He shares this, we all enjoy a good love story, a first meeting, a budding romance, and when inevitable obstacles arise, our heroes put everything on the line to overcome them, to be together. Like every great story, love is demonstrated through action, through sacrifice. Can you think of a better love story than the Christmas story? God looked upon us as children in desperate need of redemption, of a Savior, and he gave us his most precious gift, Jesus, his own Son. Do you ever feel outside of God's love? That you've committed an act which makes you eternally undeserving, a treason, a betrayal, an aborted promise. Maybe, just maybe, if you could be better, his love would be deeper. Then remember the message of the Christmas story. God loves us undyingly, unequivocally, unapologetically, and he couldn't possibly love you any more than he does right now. May your Christmas be filled with the overwhelming love of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Love originates from God. He's the source. And those who love demonstrate that they know God, as God's very essence is love. This love is characterized by patience and kindness and selflessness and perseverance. It does not seek personal gain, does not hold grudges, doesn't take pleasure in wrongdoing, but instead rejoices in the truth. Jesus gave us a new commandment to love one another, declaring that this love would be the defining mark of his disciples. Did you hear that? The defining mark of those who trust in and believe in Jesus Christ, the defining mark of them, of those people, will be that they love one another. We receive God's love in and through Jesus Christ, and then we share it with those around us, family, friends, acquaintances. God's love is so profound that he gave his only Son that those who believe in him might have eternal life. Ultimately, love fulfills the law, with the core principle being to love others as oneself, doing no harm to one's neighbor. Remarkably, love is everlasting. Love is eternal. Something we experience now, but we'll enjoy forever. And one day, we'll be with him forever. So this Christmas season, think about what God has done in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, and all year long. Let us live in the light of this love. And let us share it with a world that desperately needs to hear, for God so loved the world. Thank you, Lord, for showing us your love when you proved that on the cross when Jesus died and rose again. Thank you for that love that you sent us as a gift. We receive that today, brand new again. Help us to share that love that we've received with those around us. We pray in Jesus' name.